Sabbath blessing, everyone, and welcome on the Sabbath, February 22nd, 2025. This is our lesson 428. It's a review of our chapter 84 entitled Peace Be Unto You, Part 3. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation clearly, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with the Tani Ta team hymn entitled Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. You can find it in the hymn 476.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Jesus is very near. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to ask the little ones, by the help of their parents or older siblings, to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall they labor and do all thy work, and the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect the people who's in the Sabbath and who's not in the Sabbath. Please protect everybody that's not feeling well, that can't join our Sabbath in here. Please protect the tiny little things that we learned that's so important about church. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Dear little ones, it is time to hear from our dear remnant family the blessings that the little one has been in their household in whatever area in their life. May you share, dear ones, by unmuting your mic.
Sabbath blessings, dear ones. For this week's mommy's and daddy's little blessings, or in this case, grandma's little helper, I would like to highlight my niece and my nephew, Talia and Tyshawn, who has been very helpful to my grandma, their grandma. My mom had replacement knee surgery a few months ago, and has been recovering, and they have been very instrumental in being a help to her, whether it's, you know, assisting her to go up and down the stairs, making sure that they're trying to keep their areas clean, helping her to pack away groceries, or to do little chores around the home. And I'm very grateful for their helpful hand towards her, and I pray that they'll continue to grow by God's grace, and keep them all in your prayer according to your perfect will. Thank you.
Is there any of the other remnant family that would like to share their ones? Just let them know that we miss them, and we hope by God's spread in the future they'll be able to join. We are going to continue. Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us. It is story time, and we will have our listening ears. For our dear brother, we'll be able to share the review of our chapter 23 entitled Calvary Part 2 of our lesson, The Story About Jesus.
First off, I want to say thank you to all those who participated this morning in our sing. We had a good turnout. And our Bible verses for our lesson this morning are taken from the book of Isaiah and Luke. And in Isaiah 63:3, it says, I have trodden or walked, trampled the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled on my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. When you trample grapes, you got splashed with grape juice. And here Jesus is talking about judgment day when wicked get trampled in his wine press. And Luke 23:27-49, and there followed him a great company of people and of women, not that women aren't people, which also bewailed and lamented him. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. I guess they couldn't stand to see what was happening, and they left. And all his acquaintances and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Next slide. There you go. The mother of Jesus had followed him on that awful journey to Calvary. She longed to minister to him as he sank, exhausted under his burden. But she was not allowed this privilege. At every step, that wearisome way, she had looked for him to manifest or show his God-given power and release himself from the murderous throng, as he had done in times past. And now that the final scene was reached, and she saw the thieves bound to the cross, what an agony of suspense she endured. Would he who had given life to the dead suffer himself to be crucified? Would the Son of God suffer himself to be thus cruelly slain or killed? Must she give up her faith that he was the Messiah? Next slide, please. She saw the hands stretched upon the cross, those hands that had ever reached out to bless the suffering. The hammer and the nails were brought, and as the spikes, which is a big nail, were driven through the tender flesh, and the heartbroken disciples bore from the scene, the cruel scene, the fainting form of the mother of Jesus. The Savior, who made no murmur or complaint, his face remained pale and serene, Serene means calm and peaceful. Gray drops of sweat stood on his brow. His disciples had fled from the dreadful scene. He was treading the winepress alone, and of the people, there were none with him. Isaiah 63:3. All the soldiers, or as the soldiers were doing their work, the mind of Jesus passed from his own suffering to the terrible retribution or payment that his persecutors must one day meet. He pitied them in their ignorance and prayed. And we'll find out later what he prayed.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will continue with part 3 to find out what happened with what he had prayed for of our lesson entitled Calvary in our Tiny Tot lesson book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place today. March 1st, 2025. Welcome to all the precious brethren. We are going to hand it back to our dear brother for the review questions of the little one.
All right, in review, where did the mother of Jesus follow him to?
The answer to number is on that awful journey to Calvary.
Yes. She followed him as they walked him out of town, took him up to Calvary to crucify him. How did Jesus appear as he was nailed to the cross?
His face remained pale and serene.
Pale and serene. Serene meaning calm and peaceful. Pale, well, the blood had drained out of his face and he looked kind of washed out. Where did the mind of Jesus pass from? His own suffering. Should be passed to from his own suffering.
The answer to number 3 is the terrible penalty that his persecutors One must one day meet.
Yes. He felt sorry for them. They were doing what, they didn't know what they were doing. But we know from the spirit of prophecy that there is to be a special resurrection. And in that resurrection will come up from the dead those who died believing the third angel's message and those who persecuted Christ. So the soldiers will be there, Pilate will be there, Caiaphas will be there, and they'll get to see this person that they treated so badly. And they'll wish they hadn't done it. Thank you for participating. Back to you.
Thank you so much, dear brother. And we will be updating that correction by God's grace. Welcome, dear ones, to all the dear remnant family. It is time for Tiny Tots and parents to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. We are still on our topic, Moms of the Bible Review, and I will hand it in to our brothers so he can.
So, blessings, everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning being the mammals of the Bible. We're looking through nature. We'll be reviewing the last lesson of the beasts of burden about the camel. And we'll be looking life of a camel, but we'll be seeing the spiritual insight before the nature lesson. And the memory verse for the whole story is Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money or without price. The character quality of the story is trustfulness versus mistrust. Trustfulness is a confidence in God to direct in all matters of your life. Bible verses for our lesson review is taken from the book FBLM Bible Lesson, Year 2, Core 4, Lesson 5, A Soldier and a Widow. In Luke chapter 7, verses 13 to 17, it says, "When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. He came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. He said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. He delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all when they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and all the region round about. He touched the bier. It was a sight to awaken sympathy. The deceased was the only son of his mother, and she a widow. The lonely mourner was falling to the grave her sole earthly support and comfort. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. As she moved on blindly, weeping, noting not his presence, he came close beside her and gently said, Weep not. Jesus was about to change her grief to joy, yet he could not forbear this expression of tender sympathy. He came and touched the bier to him. Even contact with death could impart no defilement. The bearer stood still, and the lamentations of the mourners ceased. The two companies gathered about the bier, hoping against hope. One was present who had banished disease and vanquished demons. Was death also subject to his power? In a clear, authoritative voice, the words are spoken, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. That voice pierces the ears of the dead. The young man opens his eyes. Jesus takes him by the hand and lifts him up. His gaze falls upon her who had been weeping beside him, a mother and son united in a long, clinging, joyous embrace. The multitude looked on in silence as if spellbound. There came a fear on all. Hushed and reverent, they stood for a little time, as if in the very presence of God. Then they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen among us, and that God hath visited his people. The funeral train returned to Nain as a triumphal procession, and this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. The Desire of Ages, page is 318-319. The widow could trust Jesus to raise her son from the dead. You can trust Jesus to awaken your dead apart from sin. And from these pictures of Bactrian camels and dromedaries, it says, as on the right, the camel has the ability to endure even when a camel loses a quarter of its body weight because of not drinking. The water content of the blood is reduced by only 10%. And here we have a diagram of the whole camel family, what species they are, where they live. Up above says the Camelidae family. And in the two rectangles below it says Camelinae and Laminae. And in the mint green in rectangles, we see Camelus, Llama, and Vicugna. And below all three of these mint green rectangles, we see the scientific names of some of these members of the camel family. C. dromedarius, the dromedary camel. The C. bactrianus, the Bactrian camel. L. glama, the llama. L. guanaco, the guanaco. V. pacos, the alpaca. And V. vicugna, or vicunia. We see the Arabian camel, better known as the dromedary camel. scientific name is Camelus dromedarius. They live in the northern parts of Africa and the Middle East, east of Asia. We see the Bactrian camel, scientific name is Camel bactrianus. They live in the western parts of Europe, and they even range from in Mongolia and eastern China. And we see Arabian camels even made its homes out in Australia as well. Next we have, and finally we have a llama whose scientific name is Llama glama. The guanaco, scientific name is Llama guanaco. The alpaca, scientific name is Pugna pacos, and the vicuña, whose scientific name is Picugna picugna. And all four of these members live in Southern America, in South America, in all countries from Colombia, Chile, Venezuela, Ecuador, Argentina. Okay, the camel family is larger than you may realize. It includes mammals that we do not recognize as camels. Did you know that llamas and other animals without humps are also part of the camel family? There are also the alpaca, guanaco, and vicuña, which belong to this family. And here we see pictures of the llamas taken by our dear sister, and behind the picture of the llama on the left are some Magellanic penguins. We will end our last lesson titled The Life of a Camel with a sign from a random family of a guanaco. Oh, right. Oh, those are guanacos, not llamas. Only in South America, a relative of the llama and alpaca. She's not there. Oh, wait, there she is. Sister Yi, would you like to share your experience from these pictures?
Hi, everyone. Happy Sabbath. This guanaco is, I took a shot when we went to Punta Tombo, which is the largest penguin colony in South America for Magellanic penguins, named after the discoverer and explorer Ferdinand Magellan. And they were just there living harmoniously together in that like colony. And I learned that guanaco is a type of llama. And praise God for that and for this beautiful creation.
Okay, we have come to the end of lesson 5 of our family Bible, lesson of the soldier and the widow. The next Sabbath and continuing, we will start with the lesson 6, the sower, the seed, and the soil. It's all lessons concerned about the parable of the sower. And here is the list of all 6 sections of the story of that we learned from these past Sabbaths. Plus 1, the centurion's servant. 2, a delegation. 3, saying a word. 4, healed. 5, a funeral train. And 6, he touched the bier. Next Sabbath during the nature segment, we will share more science from our random family's experience with God's creation with turkeys, whales, penguins, and more. Our reference reading for our lesson, Mammals of the Bible, review taken from our study book, The Desire of Ages, chapter 32, The Centurion, part 4. He who stood beside the solemn mother at the gate of Nain watches from every morning one beside the bier. He is touched with sympathy for our grief. His heart that loved and pity is a heart of unchangeable tenderness. His work that called the dead to life is no less efficacious now than when spoken to the young man Nain. He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Matthew 28:18. That power is not diminished by the lapse of years, nor existed by the ceaseless activity of his overflowing grace. To all who believe on him, he is still a living Savior. The Desire of Ages, page 219, paragraph 1. Jesus changed the mother's grief. Jesus changed the mother's grief to joy when he gave back her son. Yet the youth was but called forth to this earthly life to endure its sorrows, its toils and perils, to pass again of the power of death. But Jesus comforts our sorrow for the dead with a message of infinite hope. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver him through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Through Revelation 1:18, Hebrews 2:14-15. Desire of Ages, page 320, paragraph 1. Continuing. Satan cannot hold the dead in his grasp when the Son of God bids them live. He cannot hold in spiritual death one soul who, in faith, receives Christ's word of power. God is saying to all who are dead in sin, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." Ephesians 5:14. That word is eternal life, as the word of God which made the first man live still gives us life, as Christ's words, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise," gave life to the youth of Nain. So that word, arise from the dead, is life to the soul that receives it. God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Colossians 1:13. It is all offered us in his word. If we receive the word, we have the deliverance. The Desire of Ages, page 320, paragraph 2. And if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. For the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then when which are alive or remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Romans 8:11, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. This is the word of comfort wherewith he bids us comfort one another. Desire of Ages, page 220, paragraph 3. Our three bonus questions. This story is, you'll find the answers is in Luke chapter 7. Question 1 is, what did Jesus say to the widow? You can find the answer on Luke 7:13. Question 2, what did Jesus say to the dead son? The answer is in Luke 7:14. And 3, how did the dead son respond to him? You can find the answer in Luke 7:15. And I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's so amazing how the Lord does things. One of our dear little ones, they had lost their teacher. And now the Lord had given information where they can be comforted in their heart. That many that die and sleep in Jesus the same way how the Lord had risen that young man. By grace, we will pray that she will also be risen as well. So remember, little ones, burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the precious family that have came in. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Wonderful Peace is the hymn of our theme. You can find it in 466. If you would like to be able to share this hymn with us, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so. Far away in the depths of my spirit you die. Rose a melody sweeter than song. In celestial thy strain is unceasingly fall. O my soul, like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in my innermost soul. So secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in phantomless billows of love.
I believe when I rise to the city of peace, where the Author of peace I shall see. The one strain of the song was ransomed, well sin, and that heavenly kingdom will be. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in the ransom billows of love.
Weary souls without gladness or comfort or rest, passing down through the pathways of time, make the Savior your friend, all the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept of this peace, oh, so blind. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to ask any of the elder siblings or mommy or daddy, so even our guests, to open a review section of our study, dear ones. May you unmute your mic to do so.
God bless you, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. And please protect us. Please protect the Sabbath that we're going to be learning today. Please protect the supernatural people that's not here. Please protect the boy that we're going to be learning today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And we pray that you'll feel much better, dear sister. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from the scripture song from John 14:24, King James Version, with margin. The Lord. So what have we learned in ways we have grown this week? Before we hear all the answers to the question or anything you would like to share, dear ones, we're going to take a few minutes to be able to reread our lesson from last Sabbath entitled Peace Be Unto You, Part 3 in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The Desire of Ages, page 805. Continuing. Whosoever sins you remit, said Christ, they are remitted. And whosoever sins, you retain, they are retained. Christ here gives no liberty for any man to pass judgment upon others. In the Sermon on the Mount, he forbade this. It is the prerogative of God. But on the church, it is organized capacity. He places a responsibility for the individual members. Next slide, please. Oh, I'm sorry. There's some on the side and on the side and all the images. It says 1 Corinthians 2:15, King James Version. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. And it also says, in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, see Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and verses 9. And I'll bubble down so someone else can read.
Reading from Desire of Ages, page 805, continuing. Toward those who fall into sin, the church has a duty to warn, to instruct, and if possible, to restore, reprove, rebuke, exhort, the Lord says, with all long-suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:2. Deal faithfully with wrongdoing. 1. Every soul that is in danger, leave none to deceive themselves. Call sin by its right name. Next slide, please.
The Desire of Ages, page 805, continuing, declare what has said in regard to lying, Sabbath breaking, stealing,
idolatry,
and every other evil, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Galatians
5, paragraph
first,
page 5, paragraph 21.
Chapter 5,
verse 21. If they persist in sin, the judgment you have declared from God's word is pronounced upon them in heaven. Next slide, please. And I'll not read.
Continuing. In choosing to sin, they disown Christ. The church must show that she does not sanction their deeds, or she herself dishonors her Lord. She must say about sin what God says about it. She must deal with it as God directs, and her action is ratified in heaven. He who despises the authority of the church despises the authority of Christ himself. Desire of Ages, page 805, paragraph 4.
Continuing the reading. But there is a brighter side to the picture. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted. Let this thought be kept uppermost. In labor for the erring, let every eye be directed to Christ. Let the shepherds have a tender care for the flock of the Lord's pasture. Let them speak to the erring of the forgiven mercy of the Savior. Let them encourage the sinner to repent and believe in him who can pardon. And next slide, please. And we'll level down so someone else could pardon.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. Continuing. Let them declare on the authority of God's word. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to clean us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. All who repent have the assurance He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will can cast all their sins and thou will cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Micah chapter 7, verse 19, Desire of Ages.
Let the repentance of the sinner be accepted by the church with grateful hearts. Let the repenting one be led out from the darkness of unbelief into the light of faith and righteousness. Let this trembling hand be placed in the loving hand of Jesus. Such remission is ratified in heaven. Desire of Ages, page 806, paragraph 2.
The Desire of Ages, page 806. Continuing, only in this sense has the church power to absolve the sinner. To no man, to no body of men, is given power to free the soul from guilt. Christ charged his disciples to preach the remission in his name among all nations, but they themselves were not empowered to remove one stain of sin. The name of Jesus is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12, Desire of Ages, page 800, paragraph 3.
When Jesus first met the disciples in the upper chamber, Thomas was not with them. He heard the reports of the others and received abundant proof that Jesus had risen, but gloom and unbelief filled his heart. As he heard the disciples tell of the wonderful manifestations of the risen Savior, it only plunged him in deeper despair. Desire of Ages 608, I think it was. Oh, okay. If Jesus had really risen from the dead, there could be no further hope of eternal earthly kingdom, of a literal earthly kingdom. And it wounded his vanity to think that his master should reveal himself to all the disciples except him. As he determined not to believe, or he was determined not to believe, and for a whole week he brooded over his wretchedness, which seemed all the darker in contrast with the hope and faith of his brethren, Desire of Ages 608-4, 806-4. What's the matter with me?
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brothers. Thank you so much, Remnant family. What have we learned in ways we have grown? Welcome to all the precious families that are coming in as well. Let us consider our verse for our review answer, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always
to give an answer to every man that asks you all reasons of the hope that is in you, the meekness and fear.
Thank you so much, dear Daddy. We have reserved the 6 questions, dear ones, that we can review. The first one, who is the main character or characters? Number 2, what is the main idea of this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And number 6, what do you learn from this lesson? Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The main characters are Jesus and the disciples.
The answer to main 2 was the main idea for the section of our story. It's mainly referring to Thomas's disbelief in the Savior, since and he was not with the others. But once he saw him with his own eyes, he believed. The whole point of him was to believe that he was there, even though he wasn't among them or in front of him yet.
I believe the story is taking place in the upper chamber, upper room.
This section of the story began with after the resurrection of Christ and after he visited the disciples, and we saw the disciples walk to Emmaus and they're coming back to the upper chamber to tell of their experience to the other disciples.
I often wondered that if I had been there, would I have been a Thomas, or would I have been one of the 11?
So, number 5, how could you relate to the story, dear ones?
I guess I forgot to put the number 5 with what I said. But that was the answer to 5. My answer.
Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. I would like to share how can I relate. During these 3 parts, I have observed that many that had come to a point of unbelief or doubt, they are lacking the information that will clear those doubts and that unbelief. The truth that is in Jesus, if they would have had the present condition of what Jesus was speaking to them while he was with them, they would have been comforted. But because they were not able to hear the word of God, they could not be able to be free to really enjoy the glorious news of his resurrection. That is the same thing that happens today. In order for anyone to be able to help any erring or any person that may have a doubt, the word of God is what we're supposed to share with them, that it could fill that void of knowing the truth, so they can be able to also come up to understand the condition that they are in. They're in ignorance or whatever it is that they might have difficulty to understand. The Word of God is the only thing that can truly give us the light to see through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring understanding. I have noticed that when I just came into the message, it was very confusing to me because I have never really read the Word of God as the way how the remnant people spend so much time in the Word of God. But as I, by faith, started to be able to read, a lot of the things that I had as a stumbling block began to open up. And it is very important when everyone will get on the mic and share their experience. You will not even imagine that your experience might be somebody else's. And it gives individual courage also to be able to know that they are not the only one. So if you're moved, dear ones, please share. You don't know in what way you'll be a blessing to anyone that is listening. I just wanted to share that.
So what I learned is that there's the way how the Lord specified for us to deal with the sinner by telling the sins, like instructing them about the sins, but at the same time be very merciful and loving and be able to patiently guide them to the hands of the Lord. And that is something very interesting and beautiful, the way how the Lord wants us to deal with the sinner.
Amen. One thing that I have learned in my studies is that doubt is a very powerful feeling that can alter the way you see things. It can take away any kind of hold that you may have on Christ or the truth. And the more you speak about your doubt, even to yourself, the more you ponder on your doubt, the bigger it becomes. And if you share doubt with others, then you're actually planting the seed of doubt in their hearts and minds. Now, that may not be your intent, right? Your intent is to seek help from others, you know, to overcome your doubt. But as you share your doubt with others, it plants a seed that can grow at any time and cause them problems as well. So, amen. Yeah, like a stumbling block. So the best thing that you can do if you have doubts is don't tell anyone about them. Tell the Lord about it. Spend more time in prayer and study of God's word and pleading for God to remove the doubt, to increase your faith so that you are not becoming a barrier or a stumbling block to others in their faith, in their walk with God, but it's just you. And God will indeed give you the grace and the strength and the courage and the increase in faith to overcome your doubt. It's just a matter of time. And that can be hard to do, especially when you're struggling, right? I got to tell someone. I got to get help from my brothers or sisters. But in that particular situation, you need help from God. And he's the only one that can really aid you in overcoming that doubt.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Is there anybody else that would like to share their experience? Welcome to all the precious family that are just coming in. We are going to continue. We have favorite poem, special music, and also thought to be able to share. This is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy devotional book entitled Maranatha, chapter 36 entitled An Infallible Guide. We also going to have a reflection, but it's entitled Ready to Answer. And the scripture is taken from James chapter 1, verse 22, King James Version, and it reads, But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? Me.
God calls upon those who know his will to be doers of his word. Weakness, half-heartedness, and indecision provoke the assaults of Satan. And those who permit these traits to grow will be borne helplessly down by the surging waves of temptation. Everyone who professes the name of Christ is required to grow up to the full stature of Christ, the Christian's living head. From Maranatha, page 44, paragraph 2.
We all need a guide through the many straight places in life as much as the sailor needs a pilot over the sandy bar or up the rocky river. And where is this guide to be found? We point you to the Bible. Inspired of God, written by holy men, it points out with great clearness and precision the duties of both old and young. It elevates the mind, softens the heart, and imparts gladness and holy joy to the spirit. The Bible presents a perfect standard of character. It is an infallible guide under all circumstances, even to the end of the journey of life. Take it as the man of your counsel, the rule of your daily life. Maranatha, page 44, paragraph 3.
In the scriptures, thousands of gems of truth lie hidden from the surface seeker. The mine of truth is never exhausted. The more you search the scriptures with humble hearts, the greater will be your interest, and the more you will feel like exclaiming with Paul, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Maranatha 44, paragraph 4.
Every day you should learn something new from the scriptures. Search them as for hid treasures, for they contain the words of eternal life. Pray for wisdom and understanding to comprehend these holy writings. If you will do this, you will find new glories in the Word of God. You will feel that you had received new and precious light on subjects connected with the truth, and the scripture will be constantly receiving a new value in your estimation. Maranatha 44:5.
Be diligent in the use of every means of grace, that you may be transfigured in character and may grow up to the full stature of men and women in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Reflection from 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I have been shown that many who profess to have a knowledge of present truth know not what they believe. They do not understand the evidences of their faith. They have no just appreciation of the work for the present time. When the time of trial shall come, There are men now preaching to others who will find, upon examining the positions they hold, that there are many things for which they can give no satisfactory reason.
Continuing, until thus tested, they know not their great ignorance, and there are many in the church who take it for granted that they understand what they believe. But until controversy arises, they do not know their own weakness. When separated from those of like faith and compelled to stand singly and alone to explain their belief, they will be surprised to see how confused are their ideas of what they had accepted as truth. Maranatha, page 45, paragraph.
God will arouse his people. If other means fail, heresies will come in among them, which will sift them, separating the chaff from the wheat. The Lord calls upon all who believe his word to awake out of sleep. Precious light has come appropriate for this time. Believers are not to rest in suppositions and ill-defined ideas of what constitutes truth. Their faith must be firmly founded upon the word of God, so that when the testing time shall come, they are brought before councils to answer for their faith. They may be able to give a reason for the hope that is in them with meekness and fear. Maranatha, page 45, paragraph 3.
The servant of Christ are to prepare no set speech to present when brought to trial for their faith. Their preparation is to be made day by day in treading up in their hearts the precious truths of God's word, in feeding upon the teaching of Christ, and through prayer, strengthening their faith. Then, when brought onto trial, the Holy Spirit will bring to their remembrance the very truths that will reach the hearts of those who shall come to hear. Maranatha, page 45.
God will flash the knowledge obtained by diligent searching of the scriptures into their memory at the very time when it is needed. Maranatha, page 45, paragraph 5.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That was taken from chapter 37. So be encouraged, dear ones. Only Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit can prepare us the day we will meet to stand for what we have believed in. May the Lord help us all. What a promise and submission. Amen, dear brother. Indeed. Our poem is entitled Coming to Jesus, Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 13, page 346. Taken from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May I unmute your mic?
Number one, Jesus, that condescending King, is pleased to hear when children sing, and while our feeble voices rise, will not the humble prayers despise.
Then keep us, Lord, from every sin which we can see and feel within, and what we neither feel nor see. Forgive, for all is known to thee.
We own there's nothing good in us to tempt thee to befriend us thus. For sin and folly waste our days. Our prayers are weak and poor our praise.
Yet, Lord, we humbly venture nigh, because thou comest down to die. and all the plea we dare to make is pardon for thy mercy's sake.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Savior. Our special music is taken from the Holy Scripture in the book of Romans, chapter 11:33. Margin. Dear ones, we are going to hold our testimony by God's grace that we can share it either after the services or even in between. We have come to the ending of our review section of our part 3 of our study. Next week, by God's grace, we will continue with part 4 of our lesson book entitled Peace Be Unto You and our study book, The Desire of Ages. If anyone of the little ones, Mommy Sadari, so even our guests would like to close with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads on our knees for us to have everything. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father, we thank you for bringing us here once more on your blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for the opportunity to praise your name, Father Jesus, and to be under your mercy and love. Father Jesus, thank you for all the lessons that we learned here today. Be with the little ones and their participation, and also be with the little ones that are not feeling well. Put your healing hands upon them and that they may be able to enjoy the Sabbath day. Be with us now as we go to the next section. Be with the speaker. May you bless and give him the word to speak, I pray. Thank you, Father, again, for this blessed Sabbath day. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. Next Sabbath, by God's grace, it will be March the 1st, 2025. We will continue with our part 4 of our chapter 84 entitled Peace Be Unto You. And that will be our lesson 429. Leaving the scripture and also a quote from our lesson book, but this one is found in page 331, paragraph 3. And our chapter and verse is taken from Revelation 7:17, King James Version, and it reads, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." And from our quote, as through Jesus we enter into rest, heaven begins here. We respond to his invitation, come, learn of me. And in thus coming, we begin the life eternal. Heaven is a ceaseless approaching to God through Christ. The longer we are in the heaven of bliss, the more and still more of glory will be open unto us. And the more we know of God, the more intense will be our happiness. As we walk with Jesus in this life, we may be filled with his love, satisfied with his presence. All the human nature can bear, all that human nature can bear, we may receive here. But what is this compared with the hereafter? There are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light of them. Neither shall the sun of light on them know any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 7:15-17. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.